recorded, and I'll call a meeting to order. And this is our mandatory pre-bid meeting, and I'll turn over to Matt.
Okay, thank you. I mean, you let these guys
come
in.
Morning.
Morning.
So I put your names already on this list. If it's already on here, just check it off that you're here. And just check for spelling and make sure I've done everything correctly. And if you're not on the list, then go ahead and add your information on there. I'm going to pass it on to you.
He's with you?
Okay.
Where's
this guy?
Morning.
Just make sure that... Just check your name off. It's on there. It should be on there. And then check for spelling. Make sure I got everything spelled right.
Yeah.
Okay. My name is Matt Young. I'm the Municipal Project Manager on behalf of the Town of Kirby. And this is the pre-bid meeting for the FEMA 2024 flood road repairs. It's not our intention to go visit every site this morning, otherwise we'd be here all day. And I would like to be really wise with everyone's time. But really the purpose of this is to kind of go through the general scopes of the RFP. And if you guys have any questions, any concerns, or any clarifications that you need, you know, let's hear that out. And then what I will do is I will issue an addendum, and that gets to everyone. So you basically, if we look at the schedule today, you have basically from now until April 9th, which I have the RFI is a close day by 4 p.m., to ask the questions. So whatever questions you ask, it'll be shared to everybody else, and it'll be responded back to in the form of the addendum. The addendum will be issued by 4/16, and then the bid date is at 4/23/25. Any concerns on the bid date? You guys good with that? Okay. And then our intention is to have a bid award within sometime during May 21st, and the desire is to have the project start work this summer, in this summer time frame. Anytime. If you have questions, just raise your hands.
Basis of award.
Basis of the award, I kind of explained it through here, but basically it's going to be best value to the owner. You know, and I know that's kind of subjective, but at the same time, we need to go through, let's go through what the expectations are, what we want from you on bid day. All the bids will be emailed. You can send it to me, and you can send it to Aaron, the town clerk, simultaneously. And that has to be in by 4 p.m. on April 23rd. Late bids will not be accepted. So as soon as you send it to me or to Aaron, I will respond back and let you know that we received it. Okay. All questions, you know, from today on, you have RFI questions that needs to be sent to me and copied to Aaron. Morning. Are you here for pre-bid meeting?
Sorry, no, I was looking for John.
Get in the garage.
He's in the garage. Thank you.
Okay.
Do you plan on releasing a bid tab?
Yes, actually, if you want, you can take a picture of this.
Okay.
With your phone before you leave.
I mean a bid tabulation after.
Yeah. Would it's up to you guys. What do you think? It all depends on. Some towns do, and this is why this is more like it's not really a public bid opening, because I really need time to go through and do the bid analysis, and that's going to take several weeks to go through that. But we have not decided if you're going to do a bid tabulation or not. But we can let you know in the addendum. Okay.
It would be helpful for us, right? If we think we have work or we don't think we have work,
right?
It's hard for us to plan.
Right. I know. I totally understand.
Because we have to support you or some other community.
I know. Okay.
I
totally understand.
Yeah.
Let me write that down. Okay.
All right. All right. So on item 8 on the second page, I said on the bid form, you don't have to submit pricing on every project. You can, you know, select which one you feel is the best fit for you. And but for each of the project, we would like to see the options. And purpose of that is so that the owner can make a decision depending on overall budget, where everything comes in at, if that's the one that they want to choose, you know, whether it's option A, B, or C, or even option D is an option. So do your best if you could to respond to those options.
So you want pricing for each?
We would like to, yes. We would like to. I know it's, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Could you clarify that again right there, what he just asked?
So if you look in the, like for instance, like project one, are you here for the pre-bid?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just check off your name if it's already in there. Information's already there. And make sure the spelling and everything's correct.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Okay. So for instance, project one is the culvert number 4 on Mountain Brook and Ridge Road. We had option A, which is the concrete box option, and option B is a precast concrete bridge, and then option C was aluminum culvert. So we would like to see what the pricing would be to compare the three options for that particular project.
Do you want us to give a price on each one of those?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
They don't have to if they don't want to.
Right. I mean, we would like to, because what we have to do is, you know, I have to level the pricing out with everybody, and if one guy provides option A, but the other guy doesn't provide option B, it's just something that, you know, it'd be harder for us to weigh that out, make a decision on that.
It'd be a very confusing process.
You're also going to run into scheduling issues that way with precast boxes.
If
you have dates on your bid form.
And the engineering.
We just had duration.
To get the boxes this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's, I mean, this is why we do this. So, we, you know, this is something that we're going to have to talk with the select board and figure out what they want to do. I mean, these are things I want to hear out.
Should you do something with engineering ahead of time to be like, this is the market picture for each one of these options, and let you guys try to decide which one seems the better option now before we put all the numbers together?
The only problem is that it takes that process will take much longer. You know, this is the reason we were doing the design build is, to me, I feel that you as contractors know better than engineers how the work should be done. So it's a contractor-led process rather than engineer-led process.
Yeah, I get that side of it, but it's also the different products, like what you were saying,
right,
the timing of when it's available and that. The engineer knows that because they've designed so many different things over time.
Okay.
But also, wouldn't you want to just choose whichever one you were going to be most competitive with, you know, rather than choosing all three?
Well, that, because part of it is trying to figure out which one is most competitive. I mean,
right, but
culvert is, you know, precast obviously we cost more and then you got longer duration. So
I don't see how you'd ever permit. I mean, I don't ever see how you permit and get precast this year, personally.
Okay.
And that's kind of where I was going with the engineers. Timelines.
Yeah.
Yeah, right now they're saying a box culvert is January 1st.
Is it really? Okay.
If it was ordered today.
Okay. That's the precast option, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, unless we order it today, it's not given out.
You can install it until 26. The person on that phone call just told me that aluminum is out 10 to 12 weeks.
Okay.
So well, it's hard to price something out that isn't going to be until next year.
Right. Well, and our focus is to get work started this year.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
So I think that's a decision we're going to have to make if it's worth entertaining the other prices.
So okay. I think that's kind of what I was getting at, is that understanding that timeline of those products. If you could look at that, what fits your appetite, and then reduce down what you're asking for us to bid on
scope or something. For,
yeah. What's the quickest right now availability?
Aluminum.
Okay. What's that averaging out to?
6 to 10 weeks.
Okay. And what about steel? Same?
Should be the same.
Be the same? Same. Okay. Okay. So if it was either aluminum or steel, you don't see a concern this year's work?
No.
Okay.
A lot of options out there for culvert, for metal or aluminum arches. Many providers, not just a couple.
I see.
With the concrete boxes.
Yeah.
You either, in this state, you've got either island or can.
Yeah.
For the next, you've got to go out of state.
Okay.
And that's just as backed up as these guys are.
Okay. All right. Yeah, and I mean, there's only going to be more of these projects coming out this year. Yeah, and next year. Okay. Well, I think we're going to have to definitely talk, about this, and we'll get an answer to you through the addendum. Okay. Okay. All right. Let's see. Any questions on the projects themselves? Kind of the clarifications of projects 1 through 5, the scopes. Was it clear as mud? Okay. So, what I want to talk about quickly is what the requirements are when you submit your proposal. Obviously, we want the bid form filled out. There's also a, call it as a contractor qualification form, have this, filled out. And then if you were to look on page 4, we want some quick outline of your firm. We don't need to have a bunch of pretty pictures, just, make it short and concise as possible. Who's your superintendent, who's your project manager, who's going to be your designer, who's going to stamp the drawings for you on your behalf, and at least a minimum of 3 references for that. Proof of bonding will be required. There is no bid bond on this project, but performance and payment bond will be required on the project. And then a proof of insurance and a proof of professional liability insurance to whoever's going to be stamping your drawings for you. The other thing that will be really important is for the projects that you are bidding, submit a clear clarification scope of work letter. For me, I'm worried about what's excluded. So let me know what's included and what's excluded in your proposal. That could be as many pages as it needs to be. There's no limit to that. But at least tell us, how you looked at the project, because I'm going to make phone calls and I'll go back in and we'll, deep dive into your scope of work to make sure that we got everything covered. Okay? And then on item 4, I said later on, the successful bidder will be required to submit a breakdown cost of each project identifying design permit and construction cost. That's because of the grant reimbursement process. So we have to basically separate the bricks and mortar side of things versus all the upfront engineering and permitting costs on that. Any questions?
I'm assuming FEMA's still around.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Any other questions so far? Scope? Bid? Bid forms?
What about easements?
Easements. You're going to have one right of way for project 5, which
down
is
here.
Yeah, for down here. I think you guys are you're in the process of
right.
dealing with that owner, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So they'll take care of all the easements.
Right.
Yeah. You don't have to worry about the owner, easements, right of ways.
But as far as utilities, any utilities in the way of any of these? Underground a little bit.
I don't think there is.
Honestly. just thinking here, but I can't recall there being one.
Well, yeah, it was just foam down here on the corner, right?
Right. By the sandpit, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
But I can't remember.
Somewhere, right?
Yeah. I can't remember what. Yeah.
Can't remember if it was on the ground on the side of the bridge or on the other side.
Again.
But that's on the ground right there somewhere.
Is there a Donald here from GM Brown? Bowen? No one? Okay. Go close him up there. Any other questions? We've tried to, we've tried to minimize, I mean, it depends on what we end up coming back with regarding the precast culverts. I know the bid form seems really convoluted because there's a lot of information that we're asking for, but, you know, I'm always open for a suggestion, so don't know what you don't know.
Also, Nick, if there's a way to bump up the award date, you know, depending on your schedules, because to get out there June, design it, permit it, get it all ready to go, and have it in the ground, there, you know, I think you're going to find that Rivers, just a project I just did for A&R, took probably 6 weeks just to get permits from A&R for the whole project.
Okay.
And that was for their own project that they dictated. So just to give you an idea of what you might be up against coming in the spring, you're probably looking at, you know, a month or two just to get the permits after the design's complete. So, I mean, even if you crank the design around in a month, I mean, you're going to have a hard time being out of the streams by October 1.
Okay.
Just something to keep in mind. So, okay. Again, I could see a lot of the design and permitting and everything taking place this year, and some of the work taking place that you could, but some of it might not, you know, permitting-wise, you might not be able to get it done until next year.
Okay.
So, essentially, you want to see bid before 5/21.
I'm just saying, whatever you can do to expedite that every week is a pretty big deal right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Kind of concerned about that ourselves.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, we could probably tighten that up if it's okay with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And I would suggest that in your clarification scope of letter work, you know, put that in there, you know, what your concerns are, what the red flags are. If you think that there's no way it's going to be able to break ground this year, you know, clarify that in your scope letter. You know, we are asking for, on the schedule of weeks, it's based on the time you get notice to proceed, the clock starts ticking. You tell me how many weeks are you anticipating. That includes the design time, permit time, and everything else comes in between.
So with this being flood work, there's no leniency from the state on the October end?
I don't know.
Sometimes they do, but the stuff we just did for Slade Park, they still set it at 10-1 to be out of streams.
Yeah. So there's nothing on you haven't, as a community, haven't had.
I don't know, have you heard anything?
But I think
no. I haven't.
Yeah.
No, but A&R got some lack of help issues on their own end, so that ain't going to help any, but changed over a couple of people just in the process of first looking at the damage and then trying to put stuff together, and this guy's gone, somebody else comes in.
Yeah, understood.
Okay.
If the Ridge Road can't be done before the end of the year, do you want a price on the temporary bridge here, or temporary crossing?
Funding doesn't pay for temporary stuff, as far as I understand it, with FEMA.
I think we got a guesstimate of $200,000 last year.
Yeah.
That's temporary.
That's a lot of money to not get in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a killer not having that road open.
Trust me.
Your trip is adding, what, 20 minutes now?
I don't know. I don't time it. Too busy watching football.
Any other questions?
So everything's FEMA funded, I assume. So you're asking for three different essentially scopes. My question is the town going to offset the cost if you choose not to go with the lowest scope project?
I believe so.
I mean, as far as FEMA is concerned, if the pipe comes in, obviously less than a precast structure would be. But the town says, I want a precast structure because I think it's going to add longer life to our town and our infrastructure. The town has to absorb that cost. Is that correct?
These guys would have to answer that.
I do believe.
I believe that's my understanding.
So I guess for us, it would make sense. I mean, I don't know if you guys even know the threshold between an aluminum box or an aluminum arch in a precast box, but you know, some of these bids are coming out $1 million for precast 32-foot spans right now, and that's even if you get them. You know, I have no idea. Pipes are coming in considerably less, but you know, for me, I don't want to waste a lot of time. I mean, my time's valuable too, doing a bunch of legwork unnecessarily. So, I kind of going along with what Jason said. It'd be nice if we had a better scope.
What you better know.
More narrowed in.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Oh, I hear
you. I think some of these locations, obviously a pipe is not a big deal to install, but some of these other areas where your pipe's going to be a little undersized, I would think different structure might be more appropriate.
Okay. All right. One thing I do want to make a note that we'll put this in the addendum on project 4, had a note that the last culvert to be replaced with a 10-foot by 40-foot metal culvert with riprap inlet and outlet, we're going to change that to what one of those oval aluminum type systems with the wing walls. So we will change that in the addendum, but you're getting a heads up today on that. Okay. I think the priority for you guys was to have all culverts to have wing walls at the inlet and outlet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a huge priority for these guys.
Okay. So with the culvert option, as the state's granted their blessing as far as that's a viable option?
H&H study said that it was.
Okay.
And each copy of it for the three that it involved it, they put them out as options from their end. So
okay.
We were going with that.
Yeah.
I basically cut and pasted from the report and put it right in here as one of the options. So I just mimicked what they had. So I figured if they accepted that or they offered that as an option, you know, it's something to consider.
Right.
Yeah.
It was just to try to understand how. But it would be much better if it was streamlined altogether.
Okay.
Overall, but I was just trying to understand it. If we were part of the fishing expedition or if you've already done something.
Yeah.
So assuming you guys have all done aluminum and concrete, which one is least expensive? Is that the aluminum box?
Mm-hmm. Sounds like
timing.
And
what about longevity? With the aluminum box, 25-year compared to a 50-year concrete, or is it 50% or 75%?
Probably.
50?
I don't know. I prefer the concrete, probably.
Soil conditions too, acid in the soil.
Yeah.
How much salt you use?
Yeah.
I put one in about 40 years ago, and it still looks just like new.
Aluminum. Yeah.
You do not swear.
Yeah. I mean, Casillas put in three of them.
Yeah.
For the town of Linden.
Right.
I think you guys. I mean, I think that information would be available as far as what the costs were for that. Right.
Yeah.
Like,
should be.
Hey, you know, just make a phone call to the select board and be like, hey, what were you spending? What was Casella charging for that type of thing? Just so you guys have kind of a ballpark.
Right.
If it comes in $500,000 less or something, it'd be hard to justify that additional.
Well, cost. I think with the problems we're facing right now with five major issues, we've got to go with the least expensive route that we can go. We don't know what we're going to get for FEMA funding. You know, that's an unknown even in a good time. So, we only have 300 taxpayers to foot a $5 million bill. So, so that's our job. Bid it accordingly, and you know, we'll.
I'm sure we will go with the precast.
Might be out of the question. Yeah, and the time frame alone on the precast.
The time frame and the cost.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're going to wait another winter.
So. But that's what we're, that's the way we're thinking, I believe, so.
All right, well, if there's no more questions or comments, that concludes this pre-bid. Thank you. Thanks for showing up, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah.
You want to take a picture of that?
They're the ones that asked me to come. I'm Joey.
Oh, Joey.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Take care.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you.
You bet.
You get pipes.
Thanks again. Have a good day.
Thank you. Take care, guys. Guys, appreciate it.
Know exactly what size you're going to swap that 10x40 out with then?
No.
No, because
you know, it's another week or two before your
addendum
comes out, so it's just, it kind of puts you that much.
I can try, well, I can try to get the, I can do two addendums. I can try to get a one out really quickly, and then wait until, because I do have to be fair to let questions come in until the day, you know,
sure,
yeah. I can issue another one.
Yeah. Yeah, but just to get ahead of that.
No, no,
know,
I agree.
It's kind of a quick turnaround, so
yeah,
the more information we can get sooner, I think that would help.
Okay, all
right. They put two right below at the town of Linden, so I'm assuming they're going to be similar to that size.
Similar to that.
They're going to have to be. It's the same brook.
Same brook, sure.
It's maybe 400 feet up the road, so I'm assuming it's going to be that same size.
Okay.
And I think the one they put in was 17x9, so... 17.
Is that 9 high?
Yeah.
17,
yeah.
Okay.
So is it a bottomless, or is there a bottom to it?
No, there's a bottom.
So it's like a squash color?
It's a squash color, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I call it squash, but sometimes it's called an oval.
They also pour the whole thing in concrete.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So it's got a little head wall that connects
correct
into it.
Yeah.
And how I understand it, the company that designs these, they have a team come in and put that whole thing together.
Assemble it.
Is that the one from Contact? Is that Contact?
Yeah, I've dealt with Contact before.
Those are where they go around everywhere, and they have a team of guys that jump out of a van, put it all together, and you bury it up.
That's pretty slick, then, huh?
Yeah.
So there's some concrete that goes into that, you guys?
Yeah, so...
Must have dead weighted or something.
I had pictures of
they
it, so when this base
the whole
goes
thing
in,
concrete.
They take a pump truck, and they go around the whole thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they pin it, actually, with rebar.
Interesting.
And then that holds that structure base to the ground.
Okay.
And then when they pour the concrete around it, and then they start putting the rest of it together as they go, and you've got cables going back to wing walls on each one of these.
Okay.
So it holds the wing walls
there.
It's a pretty good structure, in my opinion. I just don't know a lot
about
it.
Much lighter.
Yeah.
Smaller equipment.
Yeah, you don't need a huge crane.
Correct.
So there's some efficiency there, for sure.
Right.
And then, was 4 or 5 the ledge section? Was it
5?
5.
Yeah.
Over here.
So you need engineering for that aspect, too.
For the
removal. Stabilization and the removal of that.
Yeah. But I think you'd be able to pound it out. I don't think you need to blast it or anything.
It looks fairly fragmented.
Yeah, it looks pretty
layered.
We
already, we had 2 road projects, washouts done below that. And in order to have a safe one-lane travel, we had to take a knob off of that. Excavator just ripped it off without even breaking a sweat.
Didn't have a breaker on or nothing.
No, just pulled it down.
So it's really shaley.
It looks like shale.
Fractured all the way up through, vertically fractured and horizontal. It's
really?
That doesn't look like there's anything solid in there, but how much or whatever is below, don't know.
Yeah, but I think if you guys could get to one bid for each section, I think that's where you get your best turnaround and quickest efficiency.
Right.
You know, and everybody is really busy.
Right. You know, so to try to pull together three prices for five different projects is a lot to ask.
Right.
Josh with Boulder.
Okay. All right. So I talked to you the other day.
Yesterday.
That's right. Okay.
About that. Who was the engineering company you were talking about?
Horizons.
Horizons.
Did he call get back to you?
I haven't talked to him yet, but I will. I wanted to see how this shook out today.
And okay.
You said you're familiar with
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have a huge project I'm working with him on. I didn't realize they had offices in Vermont.
Yep.
He had four young men.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep.
So you've heard of them, too. I've never worked with them.
Yeah, they're good. They're a good outfit.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely would recommend them. I know the owner, so.
Okay. That's handy, then.
Yeah.
So with five there, then that's you're responsible for the road base and shifting the road over and whatever ditch work and whatnot would be associated with that.
Yep.
And then the resetting of the guardrail.
Yeah, reset the guardrail,
We got a pretty good washout on that left side, so that's probably where most of your engineering is going to come into effect is on that side.
Well, hopefully we could recycle some of that ledge right over
here. Well, that's, you know, keyed in down at the bottom with the
big stuff.
And then, you know, then you can start shucking some of the other material over the top to armor it with, you know.
So. Yeah, we might have to supplement some, but...
Yeah, the slope is so steep there, you're going to have to start at the base and build that up some and then anchor it back, I believe. But that's up to the engineer.
What we liked was moving the road over takes even more out of the vertical side of that bank because it's still washing even...
Oh, it is.
Even now. Not from the brook, but, you know... any heavy rains or anything like that. So when we shut that lane down, there was a little bit of crack on the end of the pavement. That crack is now at least a foot in and 3 or 4 feet long. So it's not stopping until it gets armored. But nothing better to swing over from one side and drop it on the other side.
Nothing like efficiency in that matter.
We like that part.
Yeah, absolutely.
Saves on the
Does... So are you going to have to maintain that road, like, traffic, or can that get shut down while that's happening?
Well, shut it down.
Yeah, we have to shut it down.
Yeah, you need to clarify that in your scope letter.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the things I'm going to ask.
It would be a lot more efficient if you could shut that down and just go after it.
Yeah. Don't sit there and try and have traffic come through when you're on both sides of the road. Yeah.
Okay.
Grin and bear it. People have been making detours since last July.
Two ways out of there, if not three. So.
Poor Aaron.
She's like, oh, that's not all around.
Aaron's got to go to Waterford.
I don't go that way. Shut it down.
You're okay with that? But that would make it a lot more efficient if we could just have our way with that section.
I mean, you really need to present to us in your scope letter like what your approach is going to be.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's the lowest bid. So if you say... That's the cheapest way to do it. This is what we got to do. That's the decisions that you guys have to decide on.
Yeah. So, it sounds like, you know, a galvanized culvert or your arch culvert is going to be your most bang for your buck at this point and time frame.
Yeah.
Concrete ain't going to happen.
No. Yeah. Doesn't sound like it.
Didn't think it was.
But, okay.
Yep.
Well, nice to meet you guys.
Right.
You. Where are you out of? Where are you out of?
Mooresville.
Mooresville.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Cool.
Well, speaking of Mooresville, there's a skid steer dealership, the
Pete's.
Do they carry that? Is that ATC? What's that brand? They're the only ones in Vermont that carries that brand.
Oh.
Hyundai?
No, there's.
No, it's ASV.
ASV.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about ASV?
I do know about
ASV. Do you like that ASV?
Well, ASV.
So I was going to go there and go look at one.
Yeah. So Yanmar bought out ASV.
I heard. Yeah.
And I just bought a Yanmar because I like the design of the ASV, but the undercarriage is plastic. They have plastic bogey wheels.
Really?
And they ride really nice.
They're supposed to ride higher, though, too, right?
Yeah, they have a higher ground
clearance. That's why I want one. Because I have a John Deere one now.
Yeah.
But it's too low.
But the longevity out of that, if you get into gravel or stone or anything, it just demolishes the bottoms.
Right.
But so basically, a Yanmar skid steer now is an ASV. But they put a steel undercarriage under it.
Oh.
So if I was going to recommend anything.
Get the Yanmar?
I would recommend the Yanmar.
Okay.
Can't even believe someone would put plastic.
I recommend the Takashi TL12. That's what I have.
They're a really good machine.
They are.
Yeah.
Well built.
They're well built as well.
They're the strongest built.
I've heard that too.
Machine out there.
But what I realized that for me is that most of my, because mine's not like construction really. Mine's like I'm in the woods.
Sure.
And I want the clearance.
Yes.
So my driver's half mile long.
You know? Yeah, so you're out there.
And so I'm out there.
Yeah.
And so my John Deere just doesn't cut it because it's only got an 8-inch clearance.
Yeah, their John Deere is really low.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's designed for the construction sites.
Yeah, for
road repairs and that kind of stuff. But.
Yeah, I would. I heard that CRW in Williston is going to be taking on Yanmar.
Really?
So
okay. That's interesting.
It might be worth exploring that at least. Okay. I bought mine in Connecticut.
Did you?
Yeah,
okay.
From Butler's. But, you know, so it's tough if you need support. But I heard that the ASV dealership will service a Yanmar.
It should.
It's the same machine.
Thing.
It's
yeah.
the same thing other than the undercarriage.
Yeah.
Well, the other, and it's nice now they have a Yanmar power plant instead of a Cummins.
Okay.
And a Yanmar makes a really good engine.
Takashi runs a Kadalco.
Well, I'll be in Mooresville sometime. Just come check that out.
Yeah, they're nice people there at Peace.
Okay.
So
okay,
it's worth checking into.
Kubota Motor and Takashi.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's what it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I learned too that some of the small Cat excavators are Kubota Motors as well.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, nice to meet you guys.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Take care.
Yeah.
Have
a
good
day.
Thank you. What do you guys think? Is this still
my only issue? My only issue.
Yeah, it has to be on because we have one more thing to talk about.
Oh, okay.
Is the project, the Ridge Road Bridge. I don't know if that aluminum culvert's going to support that hole.
The one at the end?
Yeah, the last one on towards that way.
Mm-hmm.
But the H&H study said it.
Yeah, they said it was okay, and maybe it is. That's just my opinion. But you know, back to the aluminum stuff. I mean, that is our cheapest way out. Ain't nobody in here, right? Because I did talk with Casella, and it's like
even cheaper than steel.
$180,000 down here for these culverts.
For that one that we have the pictures of, for instance.
That's what I was told. That doesn't include obviously the site work and hold on yards, but for the structure itself. Was around
installed? Is that an installed price?
No, that's
just going up. FOB
purchase.
To buy it. Okay.
That's what I was told.
Okay.
I stopped and see.
That's probably close.
You know, where
200,000.
You know, he said a box culvert was pushing around 350.
What box culvert made out of what?
Cement.
Oh, okay. So no, in the box culvert's a year out.
Yeah,
we can't.
You'd be having another winter.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Was it a bridge there before or a cement box culvert?
Down here.
Ridge Road.
It was a cement embutment on each side, I'm assuming, is what I can tell from, with a cement base over the top of that. So it was something that somebody built, I'm assuming.
Open bottom,
and you know, they just had a header and a header with a top over the top.
So three sides. Yeah.
You know, but who knows how things were put together and anchored together. I have no idea. It was done years ago. So but I think for a town's aspect, with FEMA on the ins and outs, we probably better go the cheaper route than the route that we... I don't know. I'm not really all hog wild over FEMA right now.
Well...
Matt, did you say before that all of these... The RFP states that all of these are contingent on funding?
Yes, I believe so. Let's see. I said majority of the project costs will be reimbursed by FEMA with state and local funding.
So we need to get back to them to eliminate the concrete.
We don't have to eliminate it, but...
Well, they're not going to...
They're not going to...
None of them are going to go out.
But
from what I get,
it's whether we want to put an aluminum culvert in that side or not, over there. The other ones I don't have a problem with. Just that baby gets some water. And it's a strictly... But, I mean, if the H&H test is supporting what they said, then that is what it is, I guess.
Because your only other thing would, if you...
I mean, we could go...
You'd have to put a temporary bridge in while somebody makes a concrete structure.
We don't have to do anything on it, no. Keep the road closed until we get the structure.
All right, well, that's getting to be a bit of a stretch for some people. If it goes into the next year, is what I'm saying. But
so, because you're asking about, that's project one, the culvert. No. For Mountain Brook?
It would be project one, yes.
Yeah, project one. So project one in the H&H study, they had concrete box as one option, and then there's a metal box, corrugated metal plate, but we did not put any of those in there as an option.
Right.
And then they said any similar structure that fits site conditions, so we replaced that wording with aluminum culvert can be considered with wing walls at inlet and outlet. So would you want me
to... But on the amendment, we can change project one.
We can change anything, yeah.
We can change just one project.
So you can change each one if you want.
And put a couple options in there. The option we got to figure out is if we want to go... I don't know what this steel thing is. I mean, some of these contractors said steel or aluminum, you know. But I don't know how much rugged or steel is versus that aluminum piece of thing they're going to put in there. I have no idea. Mm-hmm.
But I'd almost suggest let's get rid of option A, the concrete box, and then reinsert these other two that was in the study, and that's either metal box or corrugated metal plate arch.
On project one.
But then do that also with project two.
Leaving the aluminum thing in.
Still leave the aluminum as C, right. Option right. C, yeah. Yeah.
Mike, what the hell is the difference between steel plate arch thing and a steel culvert?
I don't know.
I can find out.
I don't know.
I mean, I got a guy I can call.
I haven't done enough of that type of work to tell you. I don't know.
I just was curious. I have no idea. I mean, to me, you got a steel culvert, which can be a big squash one like they used off a Red Village Road.
Right.
To support that side road up there, or you got the aluminum one that we can already see.
Everybody's putting aluminum in because that's what's keeping them in business, because that's the only thing they can get.
Well, steel's available too.
Right, but I think a lot of these guys are going aluminum because that's what they can get the cheapest, and that's what they're putting in to keep them working.
Yeah.
You know, they ain't going to have no work if they... I don't know who does the steel stuff or anything. I have no idea. But it would be nice to know the difference, like Jeff just said, between the steel structure versus an aluminum structure. You know, get some pictures or something or has a belt or... I have no idea.
Okay.
What do you think, Keith?
I don't know.
I mean, we can take out the concrete structure out of all of them, as obviously what we just talked about, and then just tell them to bid the rest of it, either a steel, whatever that was, and don't you think?
Or aluminum.
Steel or aluminum? What do you think?
So your basic concern is more for the amount of water passing through than the width of the span or the ability to withstand. It's got to be your highest traffic point, one of the highest traffic points on Ridge Road.
Not only that, it's probably one of the most spots on the whole Ridge Road that takes all the most water. You're in that dip right there, one thing. You get all the water out of
the
fields.
You got it coming down from the top of the mountain. You got it coming down the side. Yeah.
And that's my only concern with that one there. I just hate to... But like I said, H&H just did their test, so I guess it is what it is for an opening and all that. It should work. You got nobody to blame but H&HS if it don't.
Well, that's it. I mean, I'm not an engineer.
Be
a pain in the ass to lose it.
Right.
But.
The FEMA only pays once, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, no, there's no going back to the well.
No.
No.
The well's getting dry, drier as we speak. I would probably go like you just said. Go with what were the three options we had?
It was a metal box.
Yeah.
and an open bottom arch, which I'm assuming that's going to be steel. But let me see how this one was worded. For project one, they had metal box with, and then a corrugated metal plate pipe. So I'm assuming it's just those corrugated ones that you see, and they stitch them together, bolt them in place.
Mm-hmm.
And then any similar. So we'll still leave aluminum as an option for all of them.
Just take the concrete out.
Just take any concrete out.
They can't get it, and they're not going to bid it.
No wing walls at all.
I don't want to belabor these guys if it's, you know, because we don't want them to run away from bidding this because they're like, you know what?
Right.
I'm not going to. Because they're thinking is there's no way they're going to opt for the concrete option. Why do I even spend my time?
Right, exactly.
You know, waste my time. I don't either.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Then what I'll do is I'll make these changes. It's going to change my bid form. I'll get that out this week. What's today?
Tuesday? Tuesday the 1st.
So I'll get it out by Thursday or Friday. I want to be fair to these guys. Get out to them right away.
I'm surprised they have to get permits and get in the water being a flood damage deal.
They do, and they have. Typically, it's from July through October.
Right.
But I've been told that A&R has been making some exceptions to let them get in there earlier. But I don't think any of these guys are going to be ready design and permit-wise anyway.
They'll be close. To be in the water. Right. They'll be borderline July. So.
It could be, yeah. So by that time, it's going to be open anyway. So. Right. But that's the window. It's July through October.
Mm-hmm.
October 1.
For the A&R, for the permit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And obviously, I'd like to have my work done by.
Yes.
I don't want these guys in here in the middle of winter.
No. No, you don't.
That's just an added cost.
And you don't want to go through another winter.
That ain't happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why the scope letter is so important. You got to really read through their scope letter. Then I call each guy up and just re-go through it. So I said, I mean, help me to understand your approach. That's what I really want to know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just take all these notes down, and then I present it to you guys and say, this is how Contractor A is approaching this work. This is how Contractor B is approaching this work. There's going to be a dollar value difference, and you're going to have to pick which one's more beneficial to you, you know, which one's is best.
The first phone call I took was that guy calling back about the linear feet of the culverts on every single project.
And I talked to him yesterday. I called him back and I said, I can't give you that dimension. That's got to be led by each contractor's team, the engineer.
And he says his engineer won't touch it without that information.
Well, I know, but then the contractor's engineer has to, the contractor needs to tell him. He needs to be able to team up.
I said, we're having a pre-bid meeting right now, and he goes, oh, I'm not anywhere near there.
Yeah. What he's trying to do, though, I know what he's trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to have a set number of units already priced. He's going to send them out to everybody. So he doesn't know what to base it on right now.
All right.
What he has to do is he's got to call each contractor and see how they're going to approach it.
So you're talking about this is the guy that's designing these pieces.
It's a culvert itself, yeah. It's from that, he's from Maine.
He didn't tell me where he was.
Yeah, and that was a 207 number.
Right.
Yeah, I talked to him yesterday.
So he's a manufacturer?
He's a supplier, yes. He's a manufacturer.
He's
supplier.
He's trying to get all these guys.
So he just wants to make sections up that he knows are
going
to be
used. Then he bids out, he sends out to everybody.
Got it.
But I can't do that. Each Contractor A is going to say 18 feet. Someone's going to say 16 feet, you know. Someone's going to say 12 feet.
Right.
Yeah. He's used to the design, bid, build approach. That's why.
None of these bridges that we've had are two-lane bridges anyway in town.
Okay.
They're all as far one-lane? As I can tell.
I don't understand.
But over here at the Ridge Road.
I don't think they were.
When you went down through there, you couldn't get through there. You wouldn't meet two cars in that bridge. Everybody either waited on one side until you go through.
Oh, I thought they were two-lane bridges.
Pre-flooding, maybe?
I don't think so.
Huh?
Be pretty tight.
Neither one of them, the sand pile bridge or the other one?
Maybe a car and a half.
Yeah, I don't think you'd get two vehicles.
I don't either.
Huh. Now's the time to get two vehicles.
But, like down here, John was saying, on the right side going down by this bridge, you know, you're getting pretty close to the cemetery, and some, you know, you start going two lanes bridges wide there.
Okay, yeah.
You're talking a lot more work towards the cemetery side.
Yeah.
You can't go towards the sand pit side. There's no room.
Yeah.
So you talked about, I heard some, maybe some graves somewhere in there or something, and I don't think we want to infringe too much.
No, that's the whole right-of-way stuff then.
On all that. So I would just say whatever they come up with for a design. I mean, I don't know. Somebody in this town or the state's got to know the specs of a Class 2 road, how wide it needs to be on a bridge.
And that's only Class 3. Logan Perrin has to know that.
Well, I tried calling him, but he didn't answer. But, you know, that's, if it's Class 3 road has to be this wide, then that's what the bridge has got to be. I would assume.
Yeah.
But that's up for the bidders to determine, not us. Yeah. I mean, they're building the project.
Well, that's why we have to disculpe it, too.
Right.
Is there any sense of trying to prioritize any of this work?
I would like to prioritize it myself, but...
Well, what I'm saying is if we end up with limited...
funds.
Time or funds, the one at your place...
I could care less.
Fucking stay that way for who knows how long,
sure.
Right?
That's good for another 10 years.
I could care less about that.
Right, right. But the point is, somebody may look at that as, that's a walk in a park. I'll do that one, you know, per se.
I would say the sand pit.
You're going to determine that.
Right.
You're going to receive all the bids. You'll determine, you know, what's priority.
We'll set a schedule.
Yes, exactly. You may come back and say... Because what you don't have right now is you don't have a global budget to think about. Once you see the global budget, then you may start paring back and say, okay, this is not a priority. These are priorities.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good point.
Because then all fairness to the bidders, let's say if you're deciding not to do Ridge Road or whatever, then we'll have to let those guys know, hey, we're not going to consider that for this year. You know, so they can go on there and look at other projects on their own. But, yeah. Because we don't want to keep them hanging.
No, definitely don't.
Mine would be the bridges anyway.
hey, the other question I had wrote in here was the bid tabulation. What are your thoughts on that? After we do all the final analysis, do you guys typically issue a bid tabulation?
I don't even know what it is.
Bid results.
So that would everybody would get the results.
Yes.
So, I mean, all the contracts.
So you know what I bid, and he knows what I bid, and we all know what each other bid, and we all know who got the award.
Yep.
What is the point of that?
Well, it's kind of like in fairness, sort of like a professional courtesy. They kind of get to know, you know, how can they sharpen their pencils better next time, who end up getting the job. What I typically do is I... we first like to make the award first. So if you say, Contractor A, we're going to issue a notice to proceed to you, then I do the bid tabulation, bid results after that, not before.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, Stratford only had one bidder on that thing, so that wasn't a...
two.
There was two for...
Yeah.
But
one guy was double the other guy.
I mean, me as a contractor, I like to see other people's bids because it puts me in place where I need to be.
Yeah.
And be competitive in a way.
Yeah.
And if I don't know what they're bidding, then you don't know where the hell you ever are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But so. it's your call. But I, you know, I think there's nothing wrong with it.
After the fact, so that.
Yeah.
Fine. No problem.
But there's nothing stating in there that we have to take lowest bid.
Nope. There is so much CYA in this language.
So, right.
It's
FEMA that wants you to take the lowest bid.
Huh?
Will we,
FEMA that wants you to take the lowest bid.
Will we award all five sections? Will we award them? Will we select a contractor for each one of them on the same day? So I don't want to see... you know, one guy, three people bid the
bridge
here, and the same three people bid the bridge down there, and we give number two this one, we give number three this one, and now he pissed off because he didn't get number two, so he ain't going to do that one.
Well,
so do we award a bidder to each job on the same day? Are we?
No. First of all, I would not award, make any awards until you've got confirmation that you're going to get reimbursed. The money's in place.
That's going to be hard.
Well, because you're making, it's called a promissory estoppel. It's a legal term. It's basically, if you're telling contractor A, we're going to award you this job, and you don't have money for it.
We're screwed.
You're screwed. And he could sue you.
Right.
It's kind of like you building a house, right, and you have a contractor come in, and then the homeowner tells him, I don't have money to pay you, or I can pay you in 6 months. Well, that's not going to fly very well.
Right.
But we're not going to get...
We got to go borrow our money.
The cart before the horse here.
I know. That's the problem with grants.
We don't even know.
I know.
Friggin' FEMA even going to be around 6 months from now.
Well, I think the money will come back to the state. I think it's a matter of working with the state, how the money's distributed.
Regardless of the situation, we're going to have to borrow money. Whether taxpayers pay it back or FEMA pays it back.
Yep.
Yes, that's right. A business decision you guys need to make. But I would not make any awards until you got the money.
Right.
Got to protect you on that. Because
we can just see what our budget is and then see what we can get for money from that point.
Yes.
And then award after
that.
Which
is hard, because you kind of have to know how much it's going to cost to go take out loans.
Right, right. That's what we're doing.
Right.
We're going to look at everything, yes.
Before we award a bid.
Yes.
The award.
Yes.
We already know what it's going to cost.
That's why it's not longer.
We need to get it back to them as soon as we possibly can.
Yeah. We need to get their paperwork to them,
numbers.
Get their bids back.
Yep.
So that we can
get our money,
move forward. And we need to do this within the next 6 weeks.
Right.
At least.
Right.
Mid-May, we should be funded and awarding bids.
So,
and when are the bids due?
The
23rd, is that right?
23rd.
And they asked if we could move it up.
Keith, is it Woosley?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought he asked if he moved the award up.
It'll take a month to do the loan process with any of these local banks.
So, so we need to get it out to them just as soon as possible.
I don't know if you can get on some calls, Aaron, and just give us some banks some heads up as what we're doing.
I can get interest rates and stuff, but until I know how much.
Would it be a bond bank or would it be a conventional bank loan?
Well, we applied for funding through the bond bank. We tried to get $4 million and they gave us $865,000. We just got the email.
And we were told not to expect anything over $2 million, and we went for $4 anyway.
Wow.
And they came back with $865,000.
Wow.
So everything else will have to be like local banks.
Which means, and they're all doing the same thing for Linden and Waterford and whatever.
Yeah.
I need to clarify one thing that was just said between the bid date and the bid award.
Yeah.
We can't push the bid date any quicker.
No.
But hopefully we can try and find a way to push the award date
sooner.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure which one we were trying to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if you push that bid date, the award date any sooner than the 21st. I mean, that's not even giving a month to do that funding. I mean, last time when I went through the Sumsic Bank, Heather took forever.
Mm-hmm. Well, we need to do the date will have to coincide with the funding.
Yeah, once we see what the cost is, and then we can get right on the financing. And I would stipulate in the amendment that once we acquire our financing,
we will award the bid.
We'll award the bid.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Award based on funding. Okay. I would also have Keith
Booster
keep his tab on whoever his FEMA contact is so far to date. To make sure he's within reach.
Right.
And say, hey, and just give him an update and say, hey, we have a bid date of this, you know. Just heads up.
Right.
We'll have a market pricing, street pricing coming in on the 23rd.
He's pretty sure our representative will be booted pretty soon because we've had her like 6 months.
Okay. Too long?
We're going to get new rep.
Well, he heard that they're moved every 6 months.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, because they want to do that so they don't have to pay out so much money so fast. It's all a process. Mm.
Okay. Anything else?
All right, so let's just clarify our bids again, what they're bidding on.
I'm gonna delete any wording that has to do with concrete culverts.
Right.
Reinsert either metal plate or metal arch or aluminum. Those are basically the three options.
Right. Yeah. Like just one guy here does cement bridges and stuff. That was here on this bid process. Yeah. But that, you know, he may throw some bids in on that. We'll have to determine either way out of line for what we can afford or what. It's just one of those deals.
Yeah.
I think we're in pretty good shape, I think. I don't know. I'm fine with it.
Yep. Okay.
Apologize for not seeing the timing when I sent you the email.
Right.
I was looking through stuff on the your thing there and trying to find it, and I couldn't
find it.
And I didn't think to look back here. I thought it would be listed in the in that schedule thing. But.
Again, everybody will have their bids on 4/23, right?
Yep.
On the project.
No lates.
Yep.
Okay.
And then.
So you had 9 bidders that showed up today out of 10.
Right.
My gut is 50% may drop out after today.
Correct. I'm going to say we'll have 3 maybe.
You get 3 to 4 bids at the end of the day.
What if we only get 1?
That's your choice. You choice to either decide to go back out again or you take them.
It's taking forever.
Can we not take 1 bid?
Yeah, you don't have
that's
to.
That's our choice.
It's your choice. You don't have to take any bids.
Whatever we decide.
Just asking.
You can send it back out if you want, but the problem is you're running out of time.
Right.
That's the problem.
No, I mean, if it comes to that, so be it.
Yeah.
And it's going to come down to, I know quite a few of these bidders out here, and it's going to come down to me, you know, what they've done for work and how much of this they've done. I mean, you know, a lot of these guys know what they're doing.
Yeah. I didn't see, Casella did not show up.
No, they did not. I see that.
Because in fact, I sent it to them.
But they don't have to, be here to put a bid in, though, right?
No, they don't, but they should.
But they can go back to the sheet and look at your amendment and say, okay, them are gone.
Yeah.
And they can just bring a bid in anyway.
Well, the only people who are going to get the amendments are this, but I'm going to also give it to you. You can post it on the site, on your website. And then the plan holders places, they will have the addendums too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the best way to communicate. I mean, these guys, if they want to be in the loop,
right?
Things
correct.
Change, which it's going to change.
Yeah.
They should show up.
Should.
Okay.
Thank you sir, very much.
All right, thank you, Matt.
Appreciate it.
Town equipment discussion.
So
that was that guy that was here, correct?
John is meeting with Sandy in here now.
Oh, Sandy Ladd?
Yes.
Yeah, I know him.
So we have a price on the truck, a price on the body, a price on an extended warranty, which is 84 months, 100,000 miles. And it looks like between the three, we're looking at like $294,000, which...
$16,000 of that is the...
Is the warranty.
Standard
is the warranty, which I think is...
So... Good.
Who are the three? I knew of two. Third one, I didn't. Sorry, boys.
That is who did...
That's who Sandy's with.
Yep, Sandy Ladd. So
yep.
That's who the
Lancaster
and Trucker through, and then HP Fairfield is the body.
Yeah. How many truck bids did we get?
I think he had two, but this is the most recent that he's been working on.
I have that other one I take out in my truck.
I think John had another one. I don't remember who it was for.
He was getting information from...
There was one that was Lancaster and one that was Melton.
Westminster. Westminster, Vermont. Southern Vermont is also a dealer. John was telling me that he didn't think he could go out of state, which means he couldn't go to Lancaster to get a bid from them.
For what reason is that?
Yeah, I don't. He said Lancaster told them they couldn't sell him a town truck because
that must be territorial bullshit going on between the dealers. We get a lot of that.
Of course, Charlotte Boyce is the only one that's not ATG.
Well, this isn't. Yeah. I mean, the CD that renews, I think April 5th, has, I believe, 188,000 in it. And I've got another probably 6,000 to 8,000 in checks in my office that will go into it. So if we closed that CD but kept the other one actually has, I might be wrong, it might be the other one that has 188 in it. I should have brought that note out here.
Because the loan was for 120.
Yeah, I'm thinking if we keep the actual loan under 250, we wouldn't need two price quotes, would we? I mean, it doesn't hurt to get one. I'm just thinking for
I just assumed we would. You wouldn't.
Sake.
I mean.
I know he did get one from Lancaster and Milton, but then, yeah, I think Lancaster said they couldn't sell it to him. So I didn't know if you guys wanted to vote on ordering this when we get the price nailed down. Right now it's looking like it'll be about $300,000. But I think Sandy is talking to him about this red truck.
I had talked to John and I said that truck needs to, I don't care how much or whatever, it needs to be asked for a trade value. Just to get rid of it. As opposed to cutting the stupid thing up and so on and so forth.
Yeah, but we can still bid it out if we don't decide to trade it in, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can still have a bid, somebody bid on the truck to buy it.
Oh, sure.
The town if we don't
sure.
give it, I mean, if they're only going to give us $5,000 on trade, well, I ain't doing that.
Yeah.
No, there's nothing saying we have to trade it.
Right. Right.
Except for our limited parking. No, I'm just kidding.
AGI, so.
Allegiance is the international, and John, I had made initial contacts with Allegiance, and John didn't want an international. So that puts you in a Western Star or Freightliner.
Right.
So that's what you guys agreed to when we were talking about it. So that's all your...
Two options.
Two dealers in the state. One's Westminster, Vermont, down the south, and then Charlie Boyce. And then after that, you're out of state. And I don't know. I didn't know that had anything to do with it, to be honest with you, because the plow equipment that John got for the blue truck came from New Hampshire. So I'm not quite sure. HP Fairfield's already 9 months behind. I'm not quite sure what the hell that was all about. I wasn't involved then. I don't know where the blue truck came from. Charlie Boyce. But the plow stuff came from New Hampshire.
But that might be a different asset versus the truck.
Correct. You know, and Charlie Boyce has a dealership in New Hampshire.
Plow stuff you might be able to buy because it's not territorial as far as the plowing equipment goes. It's probably the truck itself. But I've never heard that. I didn't hear that either, so I'm not sure what the deal is with that. But
$300,000.
I guess the best thing to do is...
So 120 was the loan? If we exceed 250, we can't. 250 in price or 250 in. 250 is going to require, over 250 would require.
I mean, technically it's three different sales, right? Or does this all get added together somewhere?
It's
over
always,
250 would require what?
250 would over our.
It's that purchasing policy. Let me go look.
Just to be able to just do it ourselves without, if we only got one bid, for instance.
Say.
Well, the thing I find funny is I was working for, not funny, I was working for Clark's Truck Center at the time the red truck bid was being done. I was coming to select board meetings as a process of, you know, two or three people were, you know, coming to make their pitch for their equipment and stuff, maybe not necessarily numbers, but I was at meetings.
I mean, I know the town of Newark bought theirs off Charlie Boys. I know that. Now, he didn't state anything about Lancaster selling a truck. He just chose...
East Haven did too, didn't they?
I don't know, but he just chose these guys because he thought that were a better outfit to deal with, but I don't know. I didn't... I mean, if you're talking... you know, $15,000 between the two differences in a length of period of time. I don't know. We know this guy. He sold us this truck, I believe.
Sandy sold us the blue one?
I believe.
I don't know. I wasn't here, so couldn't tell you that.
But, we don't have to make a decision now. I mean, we can make the decision before the next meeting, I guess.
You're going to meet next Monday.
But...
point is that we'll have something... I mean, maybe 1 week don't make any difference. I don't know. But
what does Westminster sell? Freightliner?
Freightliner, Western Star, whatever. I think they're combined.
Never heard of them, I guess. That's what's the name of the center? Westminster?
I don't.
Or do they go
I
by
just
name?
Know the location of the dealership itself down there.
So our purchasing policy says all major purchases with a value of $10,000 or more, price and rate quotations shall be obtained from two qualified vendors, at least two. Large purchases with a value of $250,000 or more must follow a sealed bid process. Can't really get sealed bids from a car dealership, can we?
Never heard of they'll do whatever you tell them to do. mail the bid in.
Purchases at or exceeding $250,000 or construction projects of any value that are funded with federal level, this won't be funded with federal dollars, so that doesn't matter.
But you said that whatever 3.5% or whatever loan money was 120.
Talking about after you put the CD in on the truck, the loan value of what we're going to have left.
So how much we would be left with?
Because in that case, if you
stretch
the point.
But see, this is still a large purchase no matter where we get the money from.
Right. It's still a $300,000 purchase regardless of where we get it from.
Right. I thought because we were only borrowing $120,000 or whatever, that we wouldn't need all that. But technically, we're pulling. I mean, pulling out of that CD, it still counts as a purchase. So
I guess that'd be a question for somebody else.
Wanda's coming over later.
You know, I don't know what the deal is.
John
still a purchase.
He had two numbers from somebody. the second one, whether it was Westminster or I think it was Westminster, but basically the idea was the guy didn't want to come up here and meet John. He didn't care, didn't whatever. So if that's the case, just tell the guy, you know,
throw us a bid,
send us a bid. You know, if you don't want to come up, fine, no big deal. Do whatever. You send us a bid for the truck. There's your two. Right.
We don't have to take the lowest bid over 250, right?
But now this pushes it out even further because now we have to advertise the sealed bids, have a timeline for them to get them back to us, have another award date.
Right. But we got to do that anyway, according to what that paper says, right?
Shall be initiated by the issuance of a request for bids prepared by the select board. Notice of the request for bids shall be made by letters to known providers soliciting their responses. Advertisements posted in 3 public locations within the town and advertisements placed in a newspaper of general circulation in the region.
Just like every town's doing the same thing. Well, that's more for people than trucks.
I didn't realize dealerships would do sealed bids. Like, we're getting price quotes, but...
I mean, we just mailed this stuff
in. We can ask Sandy when we go out here. Oh, boy.
Well, I'd like to ask if this is a territory thing or what? With the truck?
Well, that came from their end. They were the ones that told John they couldn't Lancaster.
Well, that's
because it's municipal.
It's kind of stupid because it throws out the whole
bid process.
That's what I'm saying.
Yep.
You know, we got. So you mean to tell me you have to
dealers. Buy? You got 3 dealers, one in Lunenburg, one in Lancaster, and one in Dalton, and you can't get the other 2 because they're out of state.
Talk about fucking price
within
gouging.
5 minutes, yeah.
It's like, what the fuck? I don't get that. Well, why did he give me a price to begin with then? If that guy already knew that.
I don't know.
Can I look at that bid policy just a second? Not that.
Oh, the purchase policy.
The purchase policy.
Well, you might want to peek at the other thing too.
May 9th, 22. We ain't bought nothing big.
13 meters.
Because when we bought greater, we just fucking bought it. We didn't have to go through 422.
Yeah, the purchasing policy is just done at 22.
Gotcha.
And I think we probably just followed the Vermont League of Cities and Towns
this
model
is the first
purchasing
thing
policy, because that's not available.
This is the first thing that we bought.
Since it's changed.
So, different suspension on the side.
What, does that have to go out? Everybody in the town needs to know we're buying a truck now?
I would say we just need sealed bids. It doesn't.
Right.
I asked Vermont League of Cities and Towns, and they said that no town vote was needed if we were taking out a loan of less than 5 years or pulling out of a CD that was set up as a reserve account, which one said it was.
So. Okay.
The only question I'm going to answer is Jeff's question, 120 versus the 300. Right? Because we're taking our own money and putting down on it, so we're not actually borrowing $300,000. We're only borrowing $120,000.
Right, but we're still purchasing something over $250,000.
Yeah, but we're not using federal funding.
No.
So this says purchases exceeding $250,000 or construction projects of any value that are funded with federal dollars.
No, but up above, I think there was a section that also said.
Yeah. federal
right here,
fund.
200, no, major purchases.
104,000,
105,000.
Right
here.
As outlined below. Purchases exceeding with federal funding dollars must be sealed bid. It's not federal funding.
Okay, maybe we're okay.
You might want to clarify that before the day's over. But
I mean, it's our policy.
Right.
That really isn't anybody to clarify
right.
it.
So that 250 says as follows. And it's
right, as outlined below. That are funded with federal dollars. Yeah, right. We're not funded. I missed that. I did see it was up top, but I didn't see it was down there.
So I think we're all set.
I think so too, but I think you guys need to
not tell
vote
anybody,
before we can actually purchase this.
Right.
Because I'll have to pull money out of that CD.
So are we good with this, or do we need a little more information until next Monday?
What are we looking at for information now, before next Monday?
I don't think we don't need sealed bids.
Chief pointed out okay. It says
if it's federal funded, we need sealed bids.
Okay.
If it's not federal
right.
funded, I don't believe we do.
Okay.
It was just tricky writing.
But
so, under 250. Okay, so we're over 250. Thought there was something about two bids.
We do need two bids. We just don't need sealed bids.
Right.
So we got to have another number from somebody just for the hell of it.
I think John did have another number.
He did.
Okay,
but what he did with it, I don't know.
So let's get the information on the truck, and we'll vote on this next Monday.
Okay.
We'll have our two bids here.
Have two bids for
we'll,
next Monday.
We'll vote on it next Monday, and I'm sure 1 week's not going to make a whole big difference.
Nope. Probably that not. That ain't.
And I will check interest rates with local banks because we'll have to do, I don't know how much.
Well,
maybe 100, maybe around 100,000 by the time, like, if they do a trade-in and we pull out of the CD.
Back to square one. You would
first. Back to square
yes,
one.
You are. You first mentioned a loan from somebody. It was like 120 for 5 years, cheap rate, when this discussion first
Grant.
Came up.
Oh, yes. That was a State of Vermont equipment
right.
grant.
Which did not force us to chop this up.
Right. So if we want to do that, Marla writes the grants, and I don't know how long it would take to find out if it had been awarded, or...
Oh, so that was grant. That was grant. Because I remember that reducing how much money we had to pull out of the CD, and it was, I thought, to the point that we almost didn't have to go for any
regular
loan.
Yeah, I
don't remember
that
if that was a grant or a loan, but I can check when we're out of this meeting and see. It might have just been a low interest loan. If it is, then I can totally get right on it. But if it's a grant, that's Marla's area of expertise.
I'm pretty sure it was some type of loan for like 2% or something like that, what we talked about.
Because I've
been looking through so much information lately.
Right.
assuming that Perrin calls you back.
Who?
Perrin.
Yeah.
If he calls you back on your other phone call, he might know that grant thing. If it's an equipment grant, he's AOD, right?
Equipment grant for
what she was the initial. He would know anything grant wise that would, I would think he would anyway, that would be available for a town to use.
Too, it was something I found online.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Marlo, that's Marlo's department anyway, right?
The grants are.
Grants are, yeah.
So when I get out there,
I'll check and see if it was a grant or a loan, and that from there I'll know if it's my department or hers.
Because I know it was state, and it didn't involve destroying the truck.
Right.
I mean, that's something that we can probably always get, if we can get it, to pay off a loan that we borrowed anyway, right? In other words, if we go to the bank and borrow a loan at 5%.
Grants are tricky, though, because there's a certain begin date and end date, and that's how we got messed up with that Kirby Mountain washout. We never got reimbursed for that, because when they came and looked at the project, they said, oh, yeah, yeah, you're approved. It was like 2 days before Christmas. So we kept all the receipts. I submitted everything the next, like, July. And I didn't hear anything back for a long time. So toward the end of the year, I messaged him and I said, have I missed something? Because I don't see where I ever got reimbursed for that. And they said, oh, you were missing a signature. So they sent me the signature sheet, which I was sure had already been signed, and I sent it back to them. And then they called and said, actually, you don't qualify because you started your project before the start date. And I said, you came out here and looked at that project and approved it. And they were like, oh, well, actually, I retire tomorrow. And that was the end of that.
Fucking pricks. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't know we didn't even get reimbursed for that.
Nope.
Really? So that whole thing's been out of pocket?
Just the...
The washout up by the guy with stone and having JBL down in there.
It
ended up being like $20,000.
Yes, $20,000, that's what I
thought. And originally, when I first submitted it, I think it was Alan May called me up, and he was like, are you sure that you're not missing some invoices? Because Marla had this down as like a $42,000 project. And I said, I've submitted everything I have. And he kept like, oh, I know Kirby's, you know, in a tight spot right now. We'd really like to help you guys out. Are you sure there's nothing else? And, you know, he's like, you don't have any top material. And I said, it went over the bank. Mm-hmm. We didn't have to top coat it.
Mm-hmm.
But no.
Never reimbursed.
No reimbursement. Nope. Because even though they came out and approved it, we started it before their start date.
That's what I mean. This FEMA shit, you want to really pay attention and don't start shit. If you think you're going to get the funding, don't start nothing.
My exact words to him were, I don't know what to say to you right now because I don't have anything nice to say right now.
Well said. Okay, so we vote next Monday. So we'll talk truck on Monday.
Yep.
Okay.
And he may have some stuff for us. Matt may have some stuff for us Monday, too. So before Monday.
We'll
see.
We'll see, because the 21st is going to come quick.
So the next select board meeting, April 7th, 6 p.m. Make a motion to adjourn.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
So moved.